Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hey guys, we made it. It is hump day. Welcome to the Social. On this Wednesday, joining us, songwriter, an all-around amazing guy, Bare Naked Ladies frontman, the one and only Ed Robertson is here.
Speech.
Well, Ed, you're about to go on tour, so we kind of are very excited to get your take on this first topic, because ABBA is back in avatar form. Digital versions of the Swedish pop icons will be performing a series of immersive concerts in London, England this month. And they've managed to turn back time because it looks like the band members will appear as their 1970s selves. So what do you think about what has been branded as sort of the Avatar return?
Avatar, I like that. That's really good. But that looked like, I don't know if that was Bjorn or Benny, but he looked like Travis Tritt.
Oh my gosh.
The digital version of him. I don't fully understand what's happening on this tour. I think they're actually playing live, but what we're seeing are their avatars, so we're not disturbed by their octogenarian selves. But I'm just going to say it'll be a great time. Like,
yeah.
if you're going for a dance party and like 25 number one hits, mm-hmm. yeah. you're going to have a good time.
But don't you want to see them? Like, I saw yeah. Cher a few years ago
Cher's
in Vegas.
Cher's a different story.
Well, I mean, the age range is around the same. And mm-hmm. she played in the background all of her, like, hits and Sonny and yeah. Cher. And so you saw her in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. But then you saw Cher as Cher in yeah. real life. Don't you want that?
Cher is a miracle of modern science. Let's be clear about that. And the members of ABBA do not carry the same
stage presence, perhaps?
Well, visual appeal.
And there is this idea of like aging. If you're a performer that you were really dynamic on stage, like a Cher or a Britney Spears, and then your joints get old, like your joints get old as you get old, and then maybe you can't do that. And so I get the appeal of doing this avatar thing, but it makes me wonder, like, is it fair to other professions? Like, could Steve Nash all of a sudden go, I want a Nashitar and I'll keep playing in the NBA for the next 3 years? Like, is it fair? Like, should
well, I don't
you
know
not?
How that would work.
Exactly.
It's some questions.
I mean, I've seen something similar, and I'll say it's half satisfying. So I don't know. If anybody's been to Las Vegas and seen the Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson One show, it is the hologram. And we've been told that this avatar is different than a hologram.
Right. They've made that clear.
The idea is the same. Someone who's not there physically mm-hmm. is able to be there in another form. And so we had all the Michael Jackson hits combined with live dancers who were also dancing the actual choreo from the videos.
Right.
Like, it was really nostalgic. It was a ton of fun.
But it wasn't the same. But they're also, they've
it
died.
Wasn't the
like,
same.
Would you want to see Elvis? Maybe. But like, otherwise, isn't it kind of mean to performers to have this ageism where like, we don't, if you get old, we don't want to see you perform.
Well, but ABBA is choosing to be their 90-70 selves. See, this is the difference.
Yeah, they have the control.
They're alive and making these choices, where someone like a Tupac, who apparently there's a hologram of him going around,
at Coachella,
who gets to say what age and what he looks like and what songs he
performs.
But
what confused me about this is that it sort of suggests that they're so old and this will kind of be easier. But then you read about the process to make this. It only took 4.5 weeks of daily rehearsals all day without a break, 1,000 industrial light and magic visual creators, 200 cameramen, 40 crew people. And then you start thinking, like, that's a lot of people and a lot of work. Couldn't you have just done the concert?
Yeah.
But aren't they broken up? That sounds
like a lot, but that's what I did to prepare for today.
So, I want to touch you.
I think ultimately the audience knows what they're in for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important part, mm-hmm. right? Like, people know they're going to see something digitally interesting mm-hmm. with the music of ABBA.
Do you think they should give them a snippet before they spend on the ticket? Like, if I want to see Bare Naked Ladies avatar, right? I would like to see a snippet online.
Can we just see if I can go with that for a second? Because I would be all over it. Because anyone who's been in this business for a long time has gone through a variety of different looks.
Oh,
Ed,
God.
You have gone through a
Oh,
I feel like from baby face to quarantine face. I would love to see this up on stage in avatar
form. Which look would you make an avatar?
Isn't that just NSYNC, the whole band? Who was that?
But is there a look there? Cynthia brings up a great point. Is there a look there that you would choose as the avatar for your show?
No. I wouldn't choose any of my looks over the years. They're all embarrassing.
You'd go with Cher.
I was doing my best. Yeah, I would go with Cher in a heartbeat.
Well, that's too much fun.
That's hilarious. Okay, well,
soon.
Let's move on to another celebrity making news. Victoria Beckham says that wanting to be really thin is old fashioned. The fashion designer told Grazia that women today want to look healthy and curvy. Victoria just launched a new shapewear line. So is this body positivity or just another type of unrealistic body ideal that, again, restricts women?
I don't know about you guys, but it was a little surprising to hear those words come out of Victoria Beckham's mouth because she is so small. But on the other hand, she is a business woman, a really remarkable businesswoman. And maybe this is a sign that she sees she's got to adapt if she is going to stay in the business and keep things going. And even me just saying that kind of depresses me because all she said is she wants to dress women who look healthy.
I know.
Like,
do you think that along with the business line that she's just trying to edge in on Kim K Skims territory?
Maybe.
Like, if you look at it, Skims has made Kim Kardashian a billionaire. So the shapewear thing is in.
Yeah.
The body positivity movement we know is in.
In.
I hate to use that word, but it's in.
Yeah, you're accurate.
And so isn't it just Victoria kind of trying to cut a bit of Kim K's grass?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just body positivity because there's a bit of body ideals are shifting. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Holness, amazing Toronto filmmaker, made this incredible documentary, Subjects of Desire. And it sort of tracks how black beauty ideals have kind of been seeping into mainstream culture. We were talking before this about cultural appropriation, but those ideals of a big booty, a curvaceous body, like all of these huge hip hop stars, that's becoming a new body ideal. And people are like, huh, I want to look like that. Mm-hmm. You mean beautiful and healthy and curvaceous?
Mm-hmm. It's also been popular for a bit. And that's the other thing with Victoria Beckham saying this now. It's like, it's 2022. Like, thanks for joining the party, finally, Victoria Beckham. Like, fashion has been talking about this for years. And,
well,
I don't think it has. The last few years has really been that we've seen that shift. But the other thing is, in this article, is she doesn't really say, like, all body positivity. She very, I almost think she changes the unrealistic ideal because she talks very specifically about a thin waist and then big curvy booty, which, like, I'm sorry, but like I was blessed with a very Middle Eastern belly dancing body, and that small waist is not natural for me.
Mm-hmm. What she's saying is
other
we need a new unrealistic body.
Exactly.
And I think that's why there's been this whole reaction to the body positivity movement that's called body neutrality. And the idea is kind of, I mean, I might be, this is me putting it into my own language, but it's like to stop thinking about your body at all in the ways of like, oh, it has to look this way or it has to look that way, or I have to feel good about it or I cannot feel good about it. It's just kind of the way almost that a kid just kind of maneuvers through life. Mm-hmm. They don't think about their bodies. Mm-hmm. We all started out that way. Our body was used to like go from point A to point B. We didn't think about the way it looked. We just moved it and enjoyed it and appreciated it in that way. And so I feel in a way it'll take a long time for all of us to get there. Mm-hmm. I feel for Victoria Beckham, who also grew up in an era where that there was a particular prescribed thing, whether she was in Spice Girls or in the fashion industry. And if she deviated from that herself, the press would have had a field day with it.
That's an excellent point.
I know it is. I think I want to go back to your original point. It's that it's interesting that it's coming out of her mouth because she is really, really thin. Mm-hmm. And so it could be partially naturally so, but there's been enough interview clips that have emerged that don't really paint a great picture. I mean, everyone talks about that she loves fitness, but it also has some clips that really sound a little bit like disordered eating to me, to be very honest. And it's kind of like, you know, if I want health advice, do I want health advice from a doctor who smokes? You know, it's the idea that
I don't think she was giving health advice.
What I was saying, what I'm saying is it's rich coming from her. That's why I think this is business. This is all business because would she actually want to embrace that body type for herself? And that is where it starts to get interesting to me. She's trying to sell a product.
She's been honest about all that. I think she has found a size in those interviews. She was on a podcast, Ruth Rogers from the River Cafe in London. And, you know, we ended up, I think, talking about a number of pull quotes from that. Just that she subsides on boiled vegetables or steamed vegetables, steamed fish, no sauce, no olive oil, no salt. A comfort food for her would be toast with maybe a little salt sprinkled on. And she's very honest about it. She's not advocating for everyone to adopt this diet, but she was saying, this is what works for me. This gives me the energy I need to run a successful business. And this, you know, I know.
There's something that feels icky about it.
But I have to say, as a listener, listening to that interview, I didn't come away with it of being like, oh, I want to do that too so that I can look like Victoria Beckham. My takeaway was like, oh, so that's how you look like Victoria Beckham. Not for me.
Yeah,
that's a great point. A couple in India making big headlines. They're trying to sue their only son because so far he has not given them grandchildren after being married already for 6 years. So according to CNN, the parents say they have raised him, they have paid for his education, and now they want a grandchild. They actually have said in the lawsuit they want a grandchild in the next year, or they're suing for $825,000 in damages. They're damaged. They're damaged.
Oh my gosh.
Obviously a huge cultural component here. This is happening in India. But you have three adult children. Would you ever think, you know, clock's ticking, kids. Give me a grandchild or else.
Well, they're suing for damages. They have proved they are damaged. Yeah. I think, I have three adult kids and I am so looking forward to being a grandfather.
Aww.
But I'm not going to put that pressure on my kids. That's about me. I want them to be secure in their life and ready to have a child and want to have a child. Mm-hmm. It can't be about the grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
Like that story just makes me cringe.
And you mentioned culture, but I think it's important to also note that, you know, India is not a monolith, right? There's lots of religions and cultures, but I think we can all, as a generalization, observe that it is much more of a patriarchal society than we are used to here in North America. And so what really irks me about this story is that these grandparents actually have a legal leg to stand on.
Right.
Right. And then when you think about that and you look at the lawsuit is about him and his son. How he feels, how his son feels, and what they are missing in this whole thing is the daughter's rights. Like,
what an excellent
point.
What
if she doesn't want to have children?
What if she can't have children?
What if she can't have children? What if she wants to wait a few years and get a career? Like, she is missing from this entire story.
The most important part of the equation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's a great point.
I think the most important part of the equation is the 875 grand.
Wow. Yeah.
I did bring up culture because I do one thing in this. I don't agree with this whole lawsuit. This sounds absolutely ridiculous for all the reasons. Mm. But there is something to be said for respecting your elders. And I say that because I have my father's Portuguese, my mother is Filipino. And in the Filipino culture, again, not everybody, but certainly for my mother, religion is a really important component of that. And we've been having discussions in our house about some sacraments in the Catholic Church that children go through. And one of them is First Communion. And my daughter has actually missed it because we pulled her out of the Catholic system for our own very personal reasons. We're having a big dilemma with our relationship with the church. We've pulled her out. But in pulling her out, she's now out of the loop of what would be the preparation for First Communion. We have to now take it upon ourselves to do that on our own. And Ryan and I said, well, we just won't do it. Well, my mother has something else to say about that. And I can't simply discount it as, Mom, it's our child. We have decided this is not what we want to do. And some people would say that maybe I do have a right to say that. But I'm not going to also let my 82-year-old mother, for whom faith is a very central component of her life, just dismiss that.
Sure,
and I do want to respect her wishes. So we're probably going to do it, not because I want to, but because I want to be selfless and give something back to her.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But sometimes respecting your elders means loving them enough to explain your own life to them.
Mm-hmm.
And to maybe they're a little out of touch with the way the world has shifted around them, the way you've grown as a person, the way you interpret your faith. And sometimes that respect can take the form of a new understanding.
You want to join me for dinner with my parents?
I would love to.
Are you free?
I would love to.
That might be a really good thing. I mean, I don't know. I like taking it away from this story in particular. I like you. Like, I've done the math. I started late. We have one son. And I think if he doesn't partner up and start having children at a fairly young age, I'm probably not going to be a grandparent ever. And it does make me sad. I have thought about that. But what is the answer to that?
Like, yeah. For litigation.
Yeah.
Seems to be the answer.
It seems to be.
My mother-in-law sent me this link to our family group text.
This story?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She sent it to us.
Was that like a...
A hint and as a joke. I mean, I'm 47. I know I look 27. But, you know, it's not really an option. She sent it as a joke.
Was it a joke?
Oh, it has to be a joke.
Oh,
she knows. Yeah.
Okay.
She knows that that's not in the cards. It's not a choice.
But she has contacted a lawyer.
But she has.
It's a joke.
We're taking back the barbecue we gifted you.
Okay, I'm going to move things along to concert season because I feel like we're entering into it. And Coldplay wants their fans to help power their shows. They're installing kinetic dance floors and also stationary bikes to give concert goers the ability to generate electricity.
Oh my God, and get a hug from Chris Martin.
Well, there you go.
Sign me up. I want a bike.
Okay, but
I want a bike.
You are the only one who should ever be on a stage out of this group. Leave that. So please tell me, how do you feel about this?
Well, it's about the conversation. It's about the conversation of how we can participate in new forms of energy, right? Mm. Like, I think a kinetic dance floor and exercise bikes in the arena, like, that's not going to power one arm of their lighting truss, right? Like, that's a pretty impressive...
Even if they were vigorously doing it?
Oh, no. Yeah. That's a lot of power suck. Any Coldplay show. But I think it's about the conversation, and I think that's cool. We all need to start making changes and making shifts towards renewables.
That's what I think it is, too. I love that idea that that they're using this as an excuse to bring attention to the climate crisis. And I also wonder if we could do it in our own homes. Like, if you want to watch The Bachelor on Monday night, you have to get on the bike to get the electricity
They already
going.
Have that.
They do?
What? There are some parents that like to use that for their kids. I've read about it.
Well,
it exists.
Smart. Yeah. It made me think of, like, just the excitement. Yes, you might need thousands and thousands of dancers to be able to generate enough light to run that concert. But it's exciting to think about possibilities and future innovations. I was thinking about the kinetic energy created just from pedestrians on a very busy throughway. Imagine if that was, we could tap into that and then the streetlights.
Or they could bring in all the ABBA digital dancers.
Yeah.
And then it would just work that. We wouldn't have to do anything.
Or just all the things you're saying. But I got to say, I put myself back into my concert going days. And like, if for example, I was at a Prince concert, I went to like 8 concerts. The thing is, in the back of your mind, you're always, at least I was, hoping that maybe he's going to notice me. And I'm going to be like so cool. And then one of his people is going to be like, come back and meet Prince and whatever. So I'm not going to be on a bike. There's nothing less sexy.
But look, did you see the video at the front?
Well, I guess he did come up.
Yeah. You get actually the best seats in the house. So what if you have to pedal?
But you're sweaty. And like, I've seen myself on a bike. It is not a pretty sight.
You know how else you get sweaty?
How else?
Making out with the rock star.
Wow.
All right,
wow.
I'm changing my tune.
I love the idea. You guys know I love me some exercise. But if you're dancing, that's the best kind of exercise when you're having fun, but it's not exercise. And you're doing it when you're dancing at a concert anyway.
Yeah. Again, I think it's about the conversation.
Yes.
They're getting the conversation going. They're having fun with it. I think it's great. And Coldplay are an amazing live act. So they're really they're using their power to generate a conversation about power.
Get it?
Yeah, come on.
You know what I love?
How does he do it?
Yes. I love that, but they're not the only ones. You know, I was reading about Harry Styles, Shawn Mendes, Billie Eilish. They're all doing different things to try to address climate change, like, for example, offering only vegetarian food at concession stands to decrease meat consumption, getting rid of the single-use plastics at their venues. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it because guess what? Putting on a concert and then thousands of fans getting to a concert, there's a massive carbon footprint that happens just by living life and enjoying a show. So if there's anything they can do to offset that, why not?
Well, Bare Naked Ladies are one of the founding bands in the organization called Reverb many, many years ago. When we were touring around these amphitheaters all around North America, there was no recycling.
Wow.
Like none. So we had fans volunteer to collect the recycling and take it to recycling depots. For that, we would give them backstage passes and VIP passes. And so it was us and Willie Nelson, Bonnie Raitt, a bunch of big acts, Guster, friends of ours. We started this 15 years ago or more.
That's incredible. Can we talk about touring for a second? Sorry to interrupt, but I want to make sure we don't clip anybody on time because you are hitting the road next month. Oh my God, you're back on tour next month!
I know, it's the greatest thing.
Tell us about it.
It's the Last Summer on Earth tour, which seemed like a funny name for a tour when we named it in 2012. Wasn't as funny in 2020 when we thought it might be the last summer on Earth. We're heading out with Toad the Wet Sprocket and Gin Blossoms.
Nice.
Like 35 dates. We finished the tour right here in Toronto. July 21st.
You got that right. Okay, tickets, barenakedladies.com. Like you said, you're here in Toronto on July 21st for 35 dates in total. We love having you here, and we're glad to get you before you hit the road and do all rehearsals.
I love coming. I will come back as soon as you replace these chairs. Yes. These are the worst.
Pandemic requirements.
Chairs are terrible.
Well, you were great. And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We really, really appreciate it.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.